word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
Acts 26 and verse 28. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Luke, who penned the book of Acts, gives an account of this situation between Paul and King Agrippa. And in this 28th verse of this 26th chapter of Acts, we find these words: "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I want to talk from the thought, almost persuaded. Say that with me. Almost persuaded. Almost. Almost is and ought to be a sad word in anybody's dictionary. Almost keeps company with expressions like "if only." Almost keeps company with southern expressions like "nearabout." Almost is a word that smacks of missed opportunities and fumbled chances. We almost had it together. We almost were able to work it out. I almost made it to the big league. I almost won the lottery. The parachute almost opened up. Somebody shout almost. Brandy recorded some words years ago. Don't judge me. I listened to her. She said, "Almost made you love me. Almost made you cry. Almost made you happy, baby. Didn't I? You almost had me thinking you were turned around. But everybody knows almost doesn't count." Paul had been kept a prisoner for over 2 years in Caesarea by the Roman governor, Felix. Felix has now been replaced by the Roman governor, Festus. And before Festus can get settled in to his new position, Jews are demanding that Paul be delivered to them. Jews were demanding to be Paul delivered to them because they hated Paul. They hated Paul that even though he was a Jew, he now is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He used to be one of them, but now that his life has turned around, those who used to hang with are now trying to kid. Doesn't that sound like some folk you used to hang with? But the moment you gave your life to Christ and the moment you decided for God I live and for God I die, they then start looking at you saying, "You trying to act funny. You think you better than us. Oh, you too good to remember where you came from." And then eventually they then turn on you and try to destroy you. Am I talking to anybody in here? These Jews now are wanting to kill Paul. Paul wanted to kill him. What happens is, as soon as the new governor gets on the scene, these Jews are stirring up trouble. They're laying in wait to ambush and to kill Paul. However, Festus does not condemn Paul. He gives Paul an opportunity to say some words in his own defense. Gives Paul an opportunity to speak words that could possibly acquit him. In the midst of sharing these words, the Jewish King Agrippa comes to visit Festus with his sister Bernice to pay respect to the new governor. Now while they were visiting, Festus brings up this matter of Paul. The next day, in the midst of great pomp and circumstance, Agrippa and Bernice parade into the hall of audience to listen to Paul as Paul speaks. And then Agrippa responds, "This to me is one of the saddest incidents in the entire Bible." After hearing compelling truths that were absolutely undeniable, after hearing what God by way of Jesus has done in the life and for the life of Paul, Agrippa's response to Paul is, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Here is a clear example of God reaching out to the sin-stained heart of a man to give this man a chance to be saved. Yet this man would not hear because of the love of the world and the circumstances in his life. He said, almost. Why almost? Why was Agrippa not able to get beyond that almost? Why was he not able to cross over into first, Agrippa couldn't get beyond his family. He was King Herod Agrippa II. There was a whole family of these kings. This man was the very last of the Herodian kings. Agrippa's grandfather, Herod the Great, who had killed all the baby boys born in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. It was Agrippa's uncle, Herod Antipas, who had beheaded John the Baptist. It was Agrippa's father, Herod Agrippa I, who had put to death the apostle James and would have executed Peter had not the Lord sent an angel to rescue him. Therefore, his grandfather, his uncle, his father were the Herods who were opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these men had died or had been disgraced shortly after these events. How many times have we allowed our genealogy to keep us from getting over? How many times have we allowed family to be our hold up and our hold back from getting beyond the almost? Not only was his problem his family, but he couldn't get beyond his faults. Check this out. Agrippa, Bernice, Agrippa's wife, was also Agrippa's sister. His wife was also, check it out. Previously, she had been married to her uncle. Now, you got issues. I ain't even gonna talk about her. You got issues when you already know she been married to her uncle. Wait. Prior to that, she was married. She deserted the uncle and married a man called Polyman. Ran away from him. She had been married twice. Once to her uncle. Left him. Doesn't give a reason. Married a man named Parliament, left him, doesn't give a reason, and now is living in an incestuous relationship with her brother. Look at somebody and tell them, that's just nasty. That's just nasty. They, they're brother and sister now living together as man and wife, and because he couldn't get beyond his own faults. How many times have we allowed our faults to stop us from moving beyond almost? Stop looking at me like you always had yourself together. Some of y'all already right now are even saying, wow, after hearing about Agrippa, my stuff ain't so bad after all. His devotion to his family and his devotion to his faults, it caused him to have no focus. He lost his focus. He lost his focus. Many of us have found ourselves as we walk this walk of life having lost our focus. Paul was fighting for his very life. He had been arrested and put under protective custody of the Roman army because the Jews wanted to kill him. Paul had appealed to Caesar since he was a Roman citizen by birth. And as Paul stood between his Roman guards that day, waiting for his audience with Agrippa, I can't help but believe that he stood there in prayer. How many know prayer does change things? I just can't help believe that as he's there, given an opportunity to speak on his own behalf, that Paul stood first and foremost in prayer. I just can't help but believe that as Paul is now giving an opportunity to speak words that could possibly alter the heart of the man that wants to kill him, that Paul went into prayer. But while Paul went into prayer, I can imagine that Paul's mind went to the Old Testament words of Jeremiah, as Jeremiah said in the lamentation, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have a hope." I just can't help but believe that as Paul went in prayer, he focuses not on his personal defense, but he focuses on his personal defender. Y'all helping me in here? I can't help but imagine that his mind went to not his own situation, but the one that can make a way in the midst of his situation. Paul, instead of talking about himself, starts talking about his Jesus. Hey, come on. Had it been us in one of those situations that could have got us out of that place where we were in, we'd start giving 150 million ways as to why we ought not be killed. Oh, but what Paul does is starts talking about his Jesus. Is there anybody in here who's so committed to Christ that no matter what you find yourself going through, you're not going to put your focus on your problems nor your pain, but you're going to put your focus on your, y'all ain't helping me preaching here, on your Jesus. He puts his attention on the Jesus. Festus looks at Paul and say, "Man, you crazy." King James Version says he called him mad. Tells Paul, all that education and all that learning has driven you crazy. Paul, you done lost your mind. You're a lunatic. Paul, you a few cards short of a deck. Paul, you two fries short of a Happy Meal. Paul, you got to be a sandwich short of a picnic. Paul, you are a couple Brady's short of a bunch. Y'all get that one later. Paul, you've gone crazy. instead of saying words that will get you out of your situation, you calling on talking about Jesus. Somebody gonna catch me up in here, because somebody in here recognizes that no matter what I say about myself, yeah, I got an advocate. No matter what I try to do for myself, I have an advocate. No matter what kind of trouble I find myself in, I have an advocate. That's why John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Agrippa, hearing Paul's passion, Agrippa, hearing Paul's conviction, says, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. I need you to understand that after this situation, we never hear from Agrippa again. Can't help but wonder how much different his life might have become if he had become an altogether Christian instead of an almost Christian. There may be some of you here and right now who won't hear this message and what this message has to say to you because your mind and your heart are occupied with things of this world. Maybe your mind is on your children. Maybe your mind is on your job or the lack of a job. Maybe your mind is on the duties you have around your home. Maybe it's on the things that you got to do once you leave the church. Maybe it's one of a thousand of things that occupy your mind, whatever your mind is dwelling on. That is the work of the enemy of your soul, to keep you from hearing what God has to say to your heart. And if we aren't careful to give our attention to God, Satan will surely steal the truths that we hear from God's word. Then all we'll be able to hear and to see is, why ain't the church getting along? Then all we'll be able to see and to hear is, why is the church divided? Then all we'll be able to hear and to see is, why are some members treated differently than others? The enemy of your mind and your soul has placed your attention on everything but the message that God is attempting to send us week after week after week. Do I have any witnesses up in here? Paul now speaks directly to Agrippa. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. We know the tragic response then. Agrippa gave, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. Paul, that was good. Those words, Paul, those were some good words. But I'm almost persuaded. Paul, your words were convicting, but I'm almost persuaded. Paul, your words were convincing, but I'm almost persuaded. Paul, I felt something in your words, but Paul, you know what? I'm almost persuaded. I'm almost saved. I'm almost committed. I'm almost sold out. I'm almost turned around. I'm almost to change. Almost thou persuaded me. To persuade means to convince by argument and reason, to draw on incline, the will, to determination by presenting motives to the mind. Paul was not trying to appeal to his mind, but Paul was trying to appeal to his heart. Yeah, just check it out. Many men and women were moved by Noah's faithful appeal to build an ark, but many half-finished arks were washed away by the rising waters of the flood because they almost believed a flood was coming. Lot's wife escaped fire and brimstone as it destroyed the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but because she was only almost persuaded not to look back, she found herself turning into a pillar of salt. Now, Pharaoh was almost persuaded by Moses to free the children of Israel from bondage, but because he was only almost persuaded, Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. Judas, who betrayed Christ, almost changed his mind, but instead betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver and then hanged himself. Pilate confessed that Jesus was an innocent man and almost set him free, but instead turned him over into the hands of an angry mob that crucified him. The five foolish virgins were almost persuaded to keep their lamps trimmed and burning bright. Oh, the young rich ruler was almost persuaded to follow Jesus, but instead his riches and wealth prevented him from being persuaded. My brothers and my sisters, I need to tell you that being almost persuaded is just as bad. No, it's just like being totally lost. Yeah. One of the greatest whippings I got is because I almost took the garbage out. And because I almost took the garbage out, Mama said I almost wasn't gonna spank you. Agrippa lost out because of an almost. But what was the difference between Agrippa and Paul? Paul, who gave an account of what the Lord Jesus had done for him. Paul, who was there, my God, on death's row. Paul, started talking about what the Lord had done for him. And as he thought more about what the Lord had done, he became more committed to the Lord and what the Lord could do. I can imagine that as Paul was standing before Agrippa, I can imagine that he started thinking about how I had been shipwrecked, but yet God was on my side. I can imagine that he thought about how I had been stoned, but yet God was on my side. I can imagine that he thought about how I had been left for dead, but yet God was on my side. I can imagine that Paul thought about how he had been in prison before, but yet at midnight, me and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. I can imagine that Paul says, I got to be faithful to God because God has always been faithful to me. Is there anybody here that can look back over your life and can say, I got to hold on to the unchanging hands of God because God has been good to me? I got to close this thing, but I need you to know that I got to be an altogether Christian and not an almost Christian because God, he's been good to me.
I need you to know that I've not always stood in pulpits. I've not always wore black robes. I didn't always have a white collar around my neck. I've not always been who you now think I am. But oh, as I look back over my life and I think things are over, I can't help but realize that God's been good to me, that God has set me free. Is there anybody here that can say, I'm sold out? Almost came down there. Paul, instead of trying to get himself acquitted, just started giving his testimony. And that's Paul. I'm trying to stop, but you ain't helping me none, man. I'm trying to stop, but you ain't helping me none. As Paul started giving his testimony. See, pause. Cut. Taylor, you can't give testimony without recounting and recalling what he has done. And when you recall and recount what he has done, you realize what he has done is not because you have been good. Which means he was committed to you even when you didn't deserve being committed to. Come on up in here with your lying self. He was committed to you. With your gossiping self, he was committed to you. With your whoremongering self, he was committed to you. With your drug addict self, he was committed to you. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm done. I really am done. But testimony, hey, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Those of you who know the word of prayer, pray my strength in the Lord. But a testimony is remembering who you were, acknowledging that he changed you and took your life in another direction. As Paul is recounting and recalling his testimony, you can't give a testimony without thinking. Bob, I'm trying to stop. This ain't where it went at 8 o'clock. I'm really trying. Tell 8 o'clock to get the CD from 10:30. Because when you start thinking about what the Lord has done, when you start thinking about how the Lord made a way, when you start thinking. Look where he brought me from. Brought me out of darkness. I'm walking in the light. Look where I dare you to look at somebody and tell them, look where he brought me from. Paul instead gives his testimony. And when he gives his testimony, you don't hear no more about Agrippa. But Paul finishes his ministry. Because Agrippa was almost persuaded. You don't hear nothing else about him. But because Paul was sold out. Paul, I'm done. Paul would say stuff like, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, because you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. You ought to tell somebody, you don't know like I know what the Lord's done for me. You don't know like I know how the Lord set me free. I'm done. I'm done. Everybody is standing. Everybody is standing. Everybody is standing.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with a preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. and every first Sunday Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.